Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is the year we make freedom a reality, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And once again, we have got to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He's our Lord and Savior. And with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And as we continue in this time of trial in our country, all things are indeed possible if we keep focused on Him. And it's the little things we do every day with our friends, with our family, with our neighbors, that make a difference. And that actually continue freedom for the next generation. Well, on the international front today, coins found in Jerusalem dating back to about 126 BC show the inscriptions of Maccabean kings on them, therefore proving that indeed parts of the Bible are true. And more importantly, in some respects, that the Palestinians don't have a right or claim over that land. And I have seen some folks recently that have tried to justify the Palestinian claims on the land over there. And just historically, it just does not continue to bear out. It just doesn't. And the fact of the matter is that I think we do a great disservice by not recognizing the historical claims of the Jewish people to that land. Not to mention the biblical claims. I do. I'm sure that's going to prompt some emails, maybe even some messages, but it's a raw fact. And these coins being found there, I just love how history continues to prove the Bible. I love that. And the fact that those coins were found, just a neat archaeological story, but also it has, I think, some geopolitical significance as well. Also on the international front, Venezuela, once again, instituting the kolkhoz, the collective farm of communist fame from the former Soviet Union, and requiring workers to work 60 days out of summer to harvest the fields because their entire economy is in a free fall collapse. People are actually going and traveling 18 hours to Brazil to get food. How did this happen? It happened because government control over the market never works. And it seems like in this country, we continue to go down the road of socialism and more intervention by the government in all kinds of different areas. In fact, there are some people that call themselves conservative who defend the administrative state. They actually defend all the government agencies that are out there. And folks, you've got to know the history of these agencies. And I've been reading about the rise of the administrative state. In fact, it's a great article. And the administrative state started from the theories, the modern administrative state, because this is not a new idea. It's an old idea. It goes back thousands of years. But the modern administrative state started from a political science professor, Frank Goodnow, and also Woodrow Wilson, who was also a professor who was teaching. This was long before he became president. Actually, 20 years before he became president, he was writing that our political system, this idea of checks and balances, the idea that the legislature was the strongest branch, that we had to get rid of that, we had to depoliticize, and we had to create a class of experts that were supposedly, because of their enlightened minds, would be objective and would actually make government more efficient and more responsive. And that in the quickly changing times of technological advances, that they would be the ones who could help us through. And there's a big assumption in there, and that is the assumption that self-interest in human nature, selfishness, hatred, self-satisfaction and gain just was not going to be any part of it. That somehow we had developed past those things. We'd evolved past those things. And we all know as Christians that's just not true. We're inherently sinful human beings. And because of that, I actually hear these arguments today from some people defending the administrative state, saying we need the safety net because the people in these agencies are the experts. And we need to have this depoliticized ability to govern the affairs of everyone. And that's not what our system was based on. Our system was based on the idea that thousands of individual transactions in the free market were far more responsive and were far more moral and humane than the transactions of one centralized government. The idea that we could actually love our neighbors. Today, government loves our neighbors for us through the redistribution of wealth. And the problem is that it creates among the productive members of society a great resentment that there are people that are intentionally abusing the system, that there are people out there, and of course not everybody, but there are people out there that want to get something for nothing. And that has helped to undergird this administrative state. And folks, we have got to get rid of it. They had it in England. The founding fathers understood what it was. They understood it from Roman history. And they knew that administrative states were a cancer to freedom. In fact, that the less of an administrative state there was, the more freedom. The more of an administrative state, the less freedom and liberty. And we are there now, where you have what is called arbitrary government, where bureaucrats that are unelected, unaccountable, can make decisions where they do not have any repercussions. And a lot of times now, these supposedly enlightened decisions aren't enlightened. In fact, they actually can end up worse for the environment. They can end up worse for business. They can end up worse for the population at large. And so decentralization of control, decentralization of power, checks and balances is intended to be grueling and slow and inefficient because it is checking the innate human desire to centralize power. So when you see it happening in Venezuela, it is also happening here, although a little more subtly. A lot more subtly in some cases. But the fact of the collectivization of land in the Western United States, is that not one just large collective farm? We need to start thinking about things that way. Which brings us to one of the positive things on the international front. I'm going to continue bringing this up to make sure everybody knows about it, but it's the rise of the Polish militia. The Polish government decided that it would be a great geostrategic deterrent if every able-bodied person between the ages of 18 and 45, and in some cases even by volunteer older than that, would become part of a militia. They would be trained as marksmen, and it would be this geostrategic deterrent against invasion by Russia, because Poland has been in between Germany and Russia throughout history. So these Polish militias are booming right now. And it's so neat to watch because they got the idea from America. They got the idea from Anglo-Saxon history, and the idea of having every able-bodied citizen between the ages of 18 and 45 armed and trained in the use of arms, not only was a geostrategic deterrent, but it was a deterrent to tyranny. And so the Polish militia is having these huge rallies, largest in European history, against the Syrian refugee invasion. And you're seeing freedom blossom in Poland. And I hope Hungary, with Viktor Orban, follows suit on the militia front, because Hungary is also seeing a blossoming of freedom over there. Just wonderfully encouraging. Also on the international front, the United Nations is backing, secretly, Obama's push for federalization of police. Now, I want you to understand a term that is very important, and it's called consent decree. So here's how it works. Some organization, usually a leftist organization with some sort of tie or funding to George Soros, will sue the government. Okay, or you will have the Department of Justice sue another government, like a city or county or something like that. Okay, and they will force the city or county to sign a consent decree, a settlement, but specifically ceding sovereignty and power away from the city or the county. Now, this happened locally recently in regards to property rights. And while it may have been one of the best settlements anybody had ever gotten, as far as cities and counties are concerned, you're still ceding sovereignty. And the intent is to use these consent decrees through lawsuits to federalize the police forces in the United States. It's already happening in several major cities around the country, including Chicago and Baltimore. And here's how it sounds. And we've got some great rank and file officers here in Spokane County. We do. But these groups will come in and they'll say there's a history and a pattern of abuse from the rank and file, and they'll sue, and then they get this consent decree ceding sovereignty and power away and independence away from the local police to the federal government. And the DOJ specifically has been doing this. One more reason Hillary Clinton cannot be president, because if she is, she will continue this federalization of police. And we need to keep our police local, and we need to keep them independent. Also on the national front, Obama wants to give the United Nations power to ban nuke tests in the United States. So if we want to do, I mean, we're again, ceding our national sovereignty to a globalist entity. And that's what this election coming up is about, nationalism versus globalism. Are we going to be an independent country, continue to be that beacon of light on a hill, or are we not? And some people are having a problem understanding that. And one of those people is Congressman Tim Walberg, who Chris Ann Hall, great friend of mine, great, great constitutional scholar. But Chris Ann Hall challenged Congressman Walberg after a meeting. And Congressman Walberg, and this, I actually posted this up on my personal page. I'll get it up on the Patriot Radio page. But also, not only said that the Constitution was not practical to follow, but also said, quote, "We have the authority to fund anything we want," end quote. No, you don't. But that's the problem. Congress has ceded so much authority and power that they think that they just can fund anything they want, because we're now in the realm of pragmatism and not in the realm of constitutional boundaries. You know, the federal government was supposed to have the Constitution binding it down, keeping it in that constitutionally designed box. And this congressman, Chris Ann Hall, called out, and there's a great article on it, and it will be up on Patriot Radio's Facebook page here momentarily. But take a look at it and read it, because this is the sentiment of many in positions of power at the state level and at the federal level. And it's just wrong. They know that the Constitution lays down a boundary. They know it. They are intentionally violating it. It's not stupidity. They're intentionally doing it. And it's hard for a lot of people to, you know, fathom that that's the case. But it is. So moving on to the U.S. debt dump continuing. A lot of foreign countries right now dumping U.S. debt. Net purchases the lowest since 1992. So there's, you know, the jig is kind of up on this deficit spending. And yet we have a huge bubble in the stock market. Huge bubble. And bubbles always burst. But this bubble in the stock market, you know, we had the like record highs on in every index today. It cannot continue going up that way when you have the net purchases going down on U.S. debt. So keep your eye on it and be prepared for anything. It's going to be an interesting fall. It is. Also on the national front, Orlando terrorist father, Omar Mateen, cheers Hillary Clinton. And, you know, there's this seeming disconnect that, oh, okay. And, you know, how can the Democrats continue to get away with this stuff? You know, you have a terrorist cheering. If that was somebody on the right, let's say it was, oh, I don't know, and this has happened, actually, somebody waving a Confederate flag, they suddenly label everybody as a terrorist because a Confederate flag is out there. Or you have somebody with a Nazi flag. Saw that happen one time. Nobody knew the guy. Walks into a rally, and guess who the reporters go to? And they say, oh, you know, will you distance yourself from that? And of course, everybody's going to say, yeah, nobody here is a national socialist. We're all for freedom. And yet Hillary Clinton has the father of a terrorist who came out with some very outrageous statements. Very clearly seems like he supports Sharia law and doesn't seem to really roundly condemn. We got to hold these folks accountable. We got to hold them accountable. And, you know, and call out this hypocrisy, especially when the mainstream media outlets aren't doing it. Moving us on to the regional front, very quickly on the Bundy trial, once again silenced. The evidence is being withheld from the public. The judge ruled that unbelievable. You know, so much for transparency in the trials. But then Ryan Bundy was apparently beaten in his jail cell. And we're still getting information in on that. The communication with the outside world is very limited for these guys, just like it is actually for Joe Robertson over in Montana. Hasn't been able to get his commissary privileges set up correctly. There's been some other reports coming out of there that he has not been able to communicate outside. It's just, this is unreal. And a statistic came up to me recently, or came to me recently from another legislator, a Republican down in Nevada, Michelle Fiore, that they do not count as part of the incarceration populations and rates people who are in jail awaiting trial. Think about that for a second. That's amazing. And the whole reason for the right to speedy trial was so that people didn't languish in prison. It is not for the prosecutors. It is for the defendant. And yet it seems to be roundly ignored today, as a side note. So we're going to continue following the Bundy situation and updating you as well. Also want to mention the 51st state pushing that right now. We're going to be introducing a bill once again to split Eastern Washington. A lot of people say that's foolhardy. And look, we've run the numbers. We looked at the resources. And as I've said many times before, let us wallow in the poverty of our wheat fields and orchards and gold mines and silver mines and forests and manufacturing and industry. Let us wallow in that poverty. You know, the West Side tries to treat us like we're some kind of welfare state. Well, anyway, if you have a suggestion on the name, the new name of the 51st state, please go onto Patriot Radio's Facebook page. And if you haven't already done so, like the page first and then put your suggestion for a name. And a couple weeks from now, we're going to choose the top three names. I've talked to Representative Bob McCaslin as well, whose father actually ran this same bill for years and years. And we are going to take the top three names, put it out to you, have you vote on it. And we're going to include that name in the bill as we move forward. And then after that contest, we're going to do another contest for the flag for the 51st state. So if you want to weigh in on that, turn it into a family project, please do so. Also on the regional front, and it's kind of on the national front a little bit too, but it's such a weird deal. But this human-animal hybrid testing, okay, they actually are going to begin allowing it to happen with embryonic stem cells and stem cell research. It's unreal, and they're actually changing rules to make this happen. So if you haven't weighed in on that, take a look at it. And there are a couple links out on Facebook right now to put your own comments in, but this is just unbelievable that human animal testing. Who 10 years ago, if we would have brought this up, somebody would have thought we were nuts. And here they are, they're actually beginning the testing at the embryonic stem cell level. And, you know, I mean, obviously that's a violation of the sanctity of life. But more than that, how frightening is it to create chimeras for real? It's human-animal hybrids. So, wow. I don't even know what to say after that. I do want to mention one other thing on the regional level, and that has to do with property crime. Hugely on the rise. I am getting so many complaints about property crime, hitting family members and friends. Unbelievable. And I was talking to one of our local rank and file police officers here recently, and they're just as frustrated because they don't have enough officers on the ground to help investigate these property crimes issues. And secondly, talking with some of the prosecutor's office, there's not enough prosecutors to prosecute either. So you got kind of two bottlenecks there, and we just got to change that. So we're going to be looking at this next session, how to solve this problem and allow some of our localities to keep more of their money, because the state of Washington takes a lot of money and keeps it when the localities should be keeping that money to do just this, and that is create property crimes units, get more officers on the ground. Focus on prosecution of warrant and warrant enforcement, or focus on prosecution of property crimes too. Also want to mention the North-South Freeway. They're going to be forming an advisory committee, of which I will be a part. And this advisory committee is going to be on the design. Now, current designs seem to bypass Carnahan, which is a major North-South arterial for the Spokane Valley, South Spokane Valley. And then also, I personally brought up the issue that I think we need to have two lanes in each direction for the on-ramps going on to the North-South Freeway. So if you've got some ideas on design issues, please forward them to me, and I'll make sure to bring them up as part of this design advisory committee that is being formed right now with local area elected officials in the DOT. And last but not least, on the local front, just want to congratulate one more time Josh Kearns and Mike Volz for great campaigns and winning here locally. Just a great, encouraging thing for freedom and liberty. I also want to mention, if you have not heard about Steve McLaughlin's fundraiser up in Chihuahua on the 12th, make sure, actually, that you go tomorrow up in Chihuahua at the park, starting at 5:30 with hot dogs, and then at 7 o'clock, the main event kicks off. Steve is the best candidate for lands commissioner we have had since the guest I have coming up on the show here, and he's got a great chance of winning. So please support Steve McLaughlin. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that's been praying for the show. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. And if you want to donate, you can go to VoteShea.com, and help keep us on the air. And thank you to everybody that has been sending so much support our way. Well, my guest today is none other than the well-known fighter for freedom, former NFL Super Bowl champion, and now running for U.S. Congress in the 4th Congressional District, my good friend Clint Didier. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. Thank you very much for the introduction. But, Matt, thank you for everything that you're doing for liberty and freedom, because you, my friend, are making a difference. And I hope to get on the field of play to do the same. And I just want to say a big thank you, Matt, for everything you've done, and referencing your mattspicks.com helped me make decisions, and also forward those to people so that we can instruct and we can educate the people about the proper picks in these elections, because our state is failing us with the information they're not getting out there. There's no voters pamphlet down in our neck of the woods. And the elderly people can't work the internet and look at the candidates. And so there's no rational decision-making being made here on narrowing it down to two candidates.
It really is kind of frustrating, actually, to hear that, you know, we get rid of the written voter pamphlet to save a little bit of money for government, because we, you know, but actually that's what government actually should be spending money on, not some of these other boondoggles, for goodness sake.
Exactly. Because without information, you can't make a reasonable, rational decision. And honestly, my mother, who's very well able to maneuver on these sites, had a tough time with the Washington State Elections site to look at candidates. You had to click on each candidate individually in order to get the information. It isn't like the pamphlet when you get it and you just thumb through it and you can look from candidate to candidate to see the opposing views. Now you've got to click on each individual person to see where they stand on the issues.
You know, it is very difficult not only to do that, but also I think it's almost intentional, because it's layering. So, it you know, people aren't going to click three times to try to find something.
No, they're not.
You're putting more obstacles.
Yeah. And that's why we have a low voter turnout. I'll guarantee it. And to couple with that, the fact that we don't have any accountability in our elections for credibility as far as who voted. I've been saying, and I have talked to Kim Wyman herself when she first got elected. I said, well, now, Kim, I can fully expect to go back to a precinct showing my ID to vote, right? And she says, absolutely not. She goes, the absentee ballot is the most safe and secure way of voting. And I thought, Kim, are you serious? I said, we're hearing stories of people collecting the ballots out of the garbage cans in these post office facilities. People go there, they get their ballot, they just throw it away, a lot of them. And then people go and collect them and vote them. Dead people are voting. Come on, I've got people out here that I live with that have lost their spouses the last few years. They're still getting ballots. This is not right.
Well, it's interesting that even the United Nations recognizes that mail-in balloting is the most prone for fraud. And that's why when Iraq gained its freedom and they had some votes, they didn't use mail-in balloting in Iraq. They had to come in person. I mean, yeah. You know, it's so disconnected. And after all of these recent exposés on the, you know, hacking of voting machines and all of this stuff, I mean, nobody could really say that, I don't think, with any credibility.
No. And honestly, they wonder why the voting turnout is low, because people are disenfranchised with our system. We need to get back to accountability.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, that's a good segue. So there have been a lot of votes taken in Congress here recently that have upset the American people, and I think that's really what is behind the rise of Donald Trump. There's just people are just – they've had enough.
Yeah.
Give us some examples of some of the things in Congress that were voted on, some of the issues that you would not have anything to do with, and you would vote exactly the opposite.
Well, actually, I'm bringing these up in the campaign, because – he's my opponent is advertising that he's a conservative. Now, as a conservative, I know you're a conservative, Matt, because of your voting record. Let me pose this question. Would you have voted for a bill that would fully fund Planned Parenthood with an increase, fully fund sanctuary cities, fully fund $1.6 billion to bring Syrian refugees into America, fund Obamacare, fund executive amnesty, would you have voted for a bill that would have funded all that?
Absolutely not.
That was the omnibus bill. It was passed December 18th, 2015. And here's a telltale that it only takes 218 votes to pass a bill in the House of Representatives. 316 people voted for this. So my opponent free willingly voted for this, and he claimed that he had won the money. He had worked really hard and fought for the funding for Hanford. So I guess he's like Judas. He's willing to sell us out for 30 pieces of silver for Hanford. And this is what's disturbing, is because we need to get back, Congress needs to get back to single-item bills. And the only way to do that is to put up resistance against passing these bills. But when you keep passing them and you keep handing the purse strings to a tyrant like we have today in the presidency, until September, Congress has no authority. They don't have any power anymore because they handed it over to the president. Now we're getting the mandate from D.C. that either you comply with the transgender bathroom rule or else they will withhold your funding and sue you. So I'm asking the people of the 4th Congressional, why do we keep sending our money back to D.C. so they can use it as hostage for our consent to their will? Why? Why are we doing this? We should doing this. We should stop funding these and shut the government down until we get back to single-item bills.
But Clint, you're going to have people argue. I mean, Clint Didier, how could you possibly say we should shut the government down? That just didn't work. It actually turned people against Republicans. How would you answer that charge?
Because as Mark Levin clearly points out on his radio program many times over, it's 71% of the government is essentials. They're funded regardless if the government is in operation or not. If Congress is in session or not, 71% of the government is fully funded. That means your Social Security checks still go out. That means the military still funded. It is so much of the government that's funded. And what do? They look for the most insidious ways to hurt the people, like shutting down the World War II veteran memorial that is open to the public. They had to spend money to put up gates or panels to keep people out. This is how insidious this government is, that, you know, if you shut this government down, we're going to make you hurt. We'll make these poor veterans who are at the end of their life, their candle is about burnout, and they want to see the World War II memorial, they're going to hold them away and make sure that they can't fulfill their dream of seeing what was put up in their honor of defending this great nation?
Yeah, that was outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Yeah. Well, we talk quite a bit about this, though, but, you know, how many true conservatives are there in Congress right now? I think, you know, after seeing this video with Tim Walberg where he says the Constitution is you can't follow it practically anymore, and then saying we can fund anything we want to, we can do whatever we want to. I mean, is there hope to even turn things around in D.C.? I mean, is there enough people out there like mine to change things?
Well, I believe there's about 40. You're called the Liberty Caucus here in the state of Washington. In D.C., it's called the Freedom Caucus, and there's about 40 members. We just lost another member. His name is Tim Hillskamp from Kansas. The establishment Republican Party put $20 million into a primary to take him out. Tim Hillskamp is no longer going to be representing Kansas in the House of Representatives, and that's sad because he was on Levin many times, and I tell you what, he was a fighter. He was somebody that was standing by the Constitution in every one of his votes, and honestly, he was embarrassing the rest of the Republicans that didn't have the political will or the fight to do what he was doing, and the rest of the Freedom Caucus members. Now, I am good friends with Thomas Massie, Louis Gohmert. I've been on the phone with him. Some of the other guys, Trey Gowdy is another one. They're all over. There's 40 of them. If we could grow that number to 70, and It can be done. Do you imagine the power, and you know this from the Washington State Legislature, when you have that group of people, a 70-member group, both sides got to come to you in order to pass a bill. You then have the power to decide bills and what's put in those bills. That's what we got to work on, is making sure we get 70 members or 80 or 90 or 100. If we get 100 members, we'll have the righteousness to get back there and do what's right for America, and that is limited government. Now, if people out there listening to your show would like to Google five horrible things Congress just snuck into law, it's five more things in that omnibus bill that I haven't even brought up. And these are your liberties that were given up in the omnibus bill. It's called Five Horrible Things Congress Just Snuck Into Law. It's very disturbing. And why are these people doing this? Why are they so willingly voting for a bill so massive, $1.1 trillion? And then my opponent, some other bills that he voted for, he voted, and thank goodness it took two-thirds of the House to pass, and it didn't pass, but he voted to expand the Patriot Act, which is the spying in our emails, our phone conversations, all the things that we're doing electronically. They're spying on us, law-abiding as citizens. Now, another thing he passed, he was responsible for passing, was the repeal of COOL, Country of Origin Labeling. Country of origin labeling is how we distinguish when we go to the marketplace what meats, and I'm talking about beef, pork, and poultry, are raised in America compared to what's brought in offshore. When they repealed COOL, no longer are the meats that are coming in from Argentina, Brazil, and China labeled accordingly. Now they just have the USDA label, which has the American flag woven right into it because they inspect a small portion of the shipment, and then it all gets the USDA label approval. And when you go to that marketplace and you pick up that package of meat, you don't know where it's come from now. I'm urging the producers of the United States, we need to take the initiative. We got to start putting on the meat products raised and slaughtered and packaged in America. We need to put that on the package so people know. And then the marketplace will realize this other stuff isn't selling because we have no accountability of how they were raised, what was used in their growth, like steroids, are they used, growth hormones, anything. Some of these countries are selling the slaughterhouse discarded parts of the animal. They grind it up and they feed it back to the animal. That's how mad cow was created, through that process. And if you see somebody that has mad cow, it'll scare the daylights out of you. Now we got this great big craze going on about GMO products, and Matt, as a farmer, everything that I'm putting in the ground now, GMO free alfalfa, I'm buying the seed, it's guaranteed GMO free. I'm buying everything is GMO free wheat. And I contacted you, and we got some people with some GMO-free wheat that was not defoliated with any chemicals. It was all natural. We sold it to them so that they could have it for storage. We also have GMO-free corn. I got 100 acres of that. And we've got a hammer mill we just purchased. We're going to put it together, and we're going to roll our own corn, and that's going to be sold to people for feed. So if they're interested in that, they can get a hold of me through farmerdidier@gmail.com. But we're also raising meat. We're raising our own. We have our own cattle herd from birth until slaughter. These animals are on our farm. We're feeding them all these products. You know that this is a safe, reliable meat source, and that's what we're coming to. Because of this globalization effect, everything is being shuffled around the globe, moved from one area to another, and this is the push, is for a new world order, one world government, and I don't want no part of it. That's why I want to go back to D.C. and fight for our sovereignty as a nation.
You know, I mean, imagine, folks, Chinese chicken, Brazilian beef, I don't know, Panamanian pork, I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, I want to know if this is coming in from another country that doesn't have the same standards of quality that we do. And I've talked to so many cattle ranchers out there, and they were so opposed to this, and yet, you know, even though it's, you know, the agricultural part of Washington State, this thing still passed, and that just kind of stuns me a little bit that that would happen. It seems like there's some disconnectedness going on right now.
Yes, there is, and Matt, there's an all-out assault on the American farmer rancher. This best ag practices is what it's called. Best ag practices. We were supposed to have our county commissioners. They voted to enter us into this VSP and the GMA Volunteer Steward Program in the Growth Management Act. I'm trying to replace two of the county commissioners down here in my neck of the woods because they wouldn't listen to me. I gave them the facts from Thurston County. What's transpiring there where people are being fined if they cut down a tree without a permit on their own private property, if they get ordered to remove a vehicle and they don't remove it in the designated time, they get fined. The fine is $32,000 an offense. And it adds up to $32,000 is the max they can be fined. But if they don't pay their fine, they are put in jail. And this is their private property. And I presented this to our commissioners, and I said, we don't want this. There's a rule called nullification. If it's an unconstitutional law or regulation, we don't have to follow it. If the three commissioners, the sheriff, and the prosecuting attorney will stand together, we can nullify that law in our county, and then we've got to have the guts for those people to stand together against the state and federal government. Well, this Department of Ecology was ordered by the EPA that now they're going to write the best ag practices, and we're excluded from the table. And I asked the guys, I said, is this anything new to us? For crying out loud, can't you remember the WOLF re-implementation plan? Where the ranchers are supposed to be compensated. Dave DeShields, my good friend, lost 300 sheep one night to a pack of wolves. He's only been compensated for roughly 30 of them. Then we had the White Bluffs bladder pod here in my backyard. It's down in the Ringel Bluffs. It puts off a yellow flower, and they're saying this is unique species to its own because it's got a yellow flower, and we're saying, no, it's not. And they said, well, then we were at the table with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and they said, well, how are you going to prove that it isn't? Well, give us some time. We got samples from around the state, including the White Bluffs bladder pod. We took it to Idaho State University. They did a DNA analysis. It all came back as the same plant. We presented it to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They looked at it and said, we can't recognize these findings because it wasn't done by an official agency. And we're going to list this White Bluffs bladder pod as a species unique to its own, and we're going to attribute its demise to the South Columbia Basin Irrigation District. So here we are now. They've told us to come to the table, sit at the table, help write the best ag practices, and now EPA's ordering the Department of Ecology, you write the practices. You don't need no input from nobody else. So again, we've been asked to sit at the table. Then they look at us and tell us to shut up and do as you're told. Why do we keep putting up with this? And it's an all-out assault on our way of life. I got two sons that want to farm. And let me tell you, they're not going to get our ability for our freedom without a fight. And that's why I'm running for office, Matt. I'm tired of this government. It's gotten so big. It's into every integral part of our lives. What was the basic concept of government, federal government? National security was one of its responsibilities. Coin and currency was one of it. Post office and roads, and then commerce between states and nations. But now they're in our bedroom, our bathroom, our kitchen, our living room. They're in every integral part of our life because we have allowed it to happen. Now we got to rein it back. We got to get some people back there that are willing to stand strong and pull back the reins and start defunding, especially the EPA, who was fully funded in this omnibus bill, and they ran that what's upstream attack on our dairymen here in the state. And I'm looking at the dairymen that are supporting Dan Newhouse. Why are they supporting him? Because he voted for this. He voted for that funding to attack you and your business. We need fighters back there. We don't need appeasers and misogynists. We need people to go back there and fight. But this is an uphill battle. Dan had $650,000 that he spent in the primary. $650,000. I spent $6,000. I got 27% of the vote, roughly about 50 cents, rounded it up, 50 cents per vote. Dan Newhouse spent $650,000 for 45% of the vote. He roughly spent over $20 a vote. And who's he beholden to? That $650,000? Well, 60% of it came from D.C. special interest lobbyist groups. 34% of it came from the West Side, Boeing and the rest of the establishment Republicans on the West Side. 6% of it came from the 4th Congressional. Who is he beholden to? Who has he got to please with his vote? You, the constituents of the 4th, or all the money that he has to be, he has to pay back in votes?
Well, that's what I want to. Well, first of all, for everybody out there, this is Matt Shea on Patriot Radio with Clint Didier, freedom fighter extraordinaire, and as he always says, just a humble dirt farmer. I love.
I'm American. I love being an American, and I want to continue to be an American.
Well, let's talk about property rights. I mean, there are some things that Dan Newhouse has done in regards to property rights, and I know you have been an adamant opponent for the transfer of federal lands back down to the states, the control over it, where it belongs. What do you think is the solution here in the Western United States, and how would you differ from Dan on that point?
Well, I think as what transpired in the Midwest, when these territories became states, the land was released to them. That hasn't been done in the West. There's a couple states like Utah that's over 80%, and they just did another land grab down there. Mike Lee was fighting it. They just did another land grab down there. This land, and I'm not saying all of it. Yeah, we've got Yellowstone Park. We got Glacier Park. We got some great areas that we don't want to release those. Yeah, we keep those under federal control so that they are enjoyed by everyone. But there are other lands, the arid lands right here next to me, Hanford. If we could get this Hanford reservation cleaned up, those lands could be released and back into productivity, creating taxes. We got to get these lands back into the hands of the people of the states. How are we expected to raise the commerce, to keep this beast alive, if they keep compiling and collecting the lands of the West? Another thing is when you and I went down there to Harney County, Oregon, and we visited those people, and then the Bundys down in Nevada. Well, if people want to do a little research on their own, all they got to do is Google Uranium One. Uranium One is a mining operation out of Canada. They were given political favor by the Clintons. Hillary Clinton has promised 50% of our uranium to Russia. Uranium One has the rights to mine these minerals, this yellow cake uranium, out of the ground. Guess where the highest content of yellow cake uranium is at? Harney County, Oregon, and where the Bundys reside down in Nevada. This is what they're after. This is why they're trying to drive the people off of this land, is so that they have the rights to the minerals that lay beneath it. The federal government also has just come up with the waters of the USA. Everything is now navigable, it seems like, even if it only runs water for 3 months or 6 months, as long as it runs water, it's a navigable waterway, which is regulated by the federal government. We are allowing them to take more and more control of our lands, and this is pushing the people off of them, which is putting it then into federal control and their rights to do with what they please.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Well, hey, Clint, if people want to find out more about you, where to go, because I know that you do put some stuff out, and you have your own radio show here on the American Christian Network, where can they go?
Yes, sir. Clint4Congress.org. That's the number 4, Clint4Congress.org. We also have the Washington Patriots Pack, a pack that I created to help constitutional conservative Christians get elected locally, statewide, and in the federal offices. And then also we have the Tuesday Morning Patriot Show is on from 8:30 till 9 o'clock. It's a half hour every weekday from on Tuesday at 8:30 till 9. And, Matt, I just thank you for this opportunity to share this time with you. I appreciate everything you're doing. And stay in the fight, my brother. I know you will. Stay in the fight. That, I'm just asking the people out there, get in the fight.
Well, it's going to take all of us, Clint. It really is. And, you know, I know that there's some people out there that are asking, well, why are you running again? I mean, Dan beat you last time. Why are you running? Why are you running again?
I look at my grandkids, and I see where we're headed, and that is the complete collapse of America and the freedoms that are held for my children and my grandchildren. If I go to my deathbed knowing that I didn't do anything to try to remedy this, God will hold me accountable. It is my duty. When I hear the calling, when you hear your calling in life, and you don't fulfill that task, that's a sin. And I don't need any more sins on my soul, Matt. I need to do what I can to help preserve this great country, keeping our sovereignty intact so that our children have their shot at the American dream.
You know, I have some people always tell me that, you know, money is what wins elections. And yet we had a couple races here in Spokane County where good, freedom-loving people that were running for office, men of principle and integrity, outspent 3 and 4 to 1, went on to win, won by almost 2 to 1 against their opponent. How do you answer people that say, well, how can you fight the money? I mean, you know, how can you fight the money?
Well, that's exactly what we're trying to do right now, is because there's no way I can outraise the establishment. And in the last race, we've seen Slade Gordon come over here with 150,000 plus, who knows how much it was, and they ran attack ads on me. And at the Jennifer Dunn banquet, he proclaimed this, that he raised the money to help take Didier out. And around that room were a whole bunch of people running for state offices that didn't have enough funds to get over the top. And I guess there was a deathly silence that fell over the room when he proclaimed his taking me out. Why is it that the Republicans, the establishment Republicans, work so adamantly to make sure that a constitutional conservative does not get into office and doesn't help the other Republicans get more of a stronghold in this state so that we can further the right way and create commerce and create jobs and freedom? Why is it? It's because they don't want it to change. And that's why you're seeing Republicans come out against Trump, is because they're feeling threatened. If Trump does win this race, and I fully believe he's going to, their games are going to have to stop, because I think Trump will hold them accountable. He is a man that doesn't get to the level of success to where he's at by being a shankster. I mean, if he's taking advantage of people, they won't do business with him. And you look at a good indicator of any person is their children. You look at his children. They're well-spoken, fantastic young people. And they're entrepreneurs. They're out there, they're battling, and they're making a name for themselves. And I think that's testimony to who he is. And when you're seeing these establishment Republicans coming out against Trump, it's because their gig's about up, and they're feeling threatened. And there's a lot going on here behind the curtains that we don't know about. And if he gets elected, it may be exposed. And I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I'm all for Trump. And we got a choice between two people, folks. We got Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And if you went and watched the movie Hillary's America by Dinesh, you'll know why we want Donald Trump.
Yeah, that movie was very, very well done by Dinesh. Clint, real quick, 15 seconds, if you could plug your website again.
Clint4Congress.org. ClintforCongress.org. And thank you very much for this opportunity. And if anybody wants to send me a contribution, I will take it. But we are going to try and get it done on a low budget, too. Money is the root of evil in politics, and we need to try to get as much out of it as possible.
Clint Didier, folks, a freedom fighter and just a humble dirt farmer trying to make something happen out there so that the next generation can live in peace and prosperity and freedom. Thank you very much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, Clint.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you.
All right. Well, you heard that. You know, one of the things that I want to end the show with is this. You know, we had a very low voter turnout. It was like 28% statewide. Low voter turnout here. It's not one man that is going to turn this around. It's all of us working together that's going to turn this thing around. And that means we got to show up. And for goodness sakes, we have mail-in ballots. There's no reason that everybody listening to this radio show and all of your friends and all of your neighbors and all of your family shouldn't be voting come November. And that's why I like to get folks on who are running for office and get their perspectives on these types of things. Because as you heard Clint say, it's not just going to be him. It's got to be all of us. And we got to be engaged. If we're going to be government of the people, again, we have to be the government. That means we have to get involved. We have to act like we're the government. And I think a lot of times we don't. And there's a lot of people out there right now that are very, very fed up. Well, if you're fed up, great. Turn that passion and energy into action. Turn it into voting. Turn it into helping your candidate on a campaign, whoever that is. Turn it into getting the message out about freedom and liberty and the fact that the Constitution is what unites us. And the Constitution doesn't change. It was the boundaries to shackle the government so that we, the people, could be the actual government and direct policy. Well, this is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one.